So this morning I would love to continue just in our last 3-4 weeks, this is week 4 I think, that we are talking about the Holy Spirit. And I want to lay a strong foundation or a strong emphasis really on the Holy Spirit. We really have taken him out of our churches. We really have not laid an emphasis on him like we should. We remember him. We ask him to lead us. But ultimately, the Holy Spirit is the boss. I want to say that to you. He's in charge. He's in control. He's the one. He's the one right now. He's not a second-rate God that had to come to earth after Jesus left. He's a person. And he wants to be involved, not just in your life, but in every aspect of your life. Not just certain parts of your life. Every aspect of your life. And this morning I would like to talk about this thing that we, you know, if you've grown up in charismatic churches, you've heard a lot of teachings about power, you know. But what is this power? And maybe I'm going to debunk some myths, some things that we have been taught. So don't get upset with me. Open your heart to the Holy Spirit. I might say things that you're going to go, ugh! Are you saying that? I've been taught that. But this week I woke up in the morning, one morning, and I felt like the Holy Spirit said to me, there is so much bad stuff going around. Bad doctrine, bad ideas that's just been propagated. And maybe sometimes some of us need to go right back to the foundation and break down that foundation again. The things we've built on, bad theology. Bad understanding, bad wisdom. So maybe this is a morning for you. You've been taught in a certain way. But I want to ask you that you open your heart, that you listen to what the Spirit is saying. So this morning I want us to look at the word power. And most of the time that word is used in the Bible, in the New Testament context, it's always used in the context of God power, or God potential, or God ability. And I think so often we have translated that word and we kind of go, well, dynamite, it sounds very dynamic. And I want to start right off by saying that when Alfred Nobel thought of the name of dynamite, he did consider the word dunamis. But it means nothing what he meant it to be. It does not mean dynamite. It does not mean the power of God is going to be explosive in my life. It doesn't mean that. It means literally this. It means that it would be a great substitute for this would be words like strength, ability, and capacity. But not explosiveness. And I think we have, as if you've grown up in charismatic Pentecostal churches, that is the thing that they've majored on. Oh, it's going to be this dunamis power. Hallelujah, shakabahaya. You know, I've been in churches like that, my friends. I've been there. Where it's more hype than anything, as long as you walk out with goosebumps. I don't want you to walk out with goosebumps today. I want you to walk out today with fear and trembling, work out your own salvation. I don't want you to just feel good and God has given me power. And then what do you do with it? Now you've received all this power. And then what? It doesn't matter how high you jump, it's how straight you walk when you come down. We can jump as much as we want to in the church and get all charged up. Plug in. But what do you do with that power? And what is this power for? So I want us to look at 4 areas what this power is for. And I want to suggest to you this morning, the first one is the power to become. The power to become. The wonderful thing about the Holy Spirit is this. He wants you to become more like Jesus. That's why he gives you this power. because you couldn't do it on your own. None of us can. He gave you this power, this regeneration, because it's His work. Regeneration is the first thing that the Holy Spirit does in your life. I wrote a little thing this morning on my Facebook page. I was pondering. We lay so much emphasis on near-death experiences. Who's read books on near-death? I mean, these TV programs, near-death experiences. Do you know, as a Christian, you've had the biggest near-death experience than anybody else? Bible says you were dead in your trespasses. You were dead in your sin, and He made you alive. That is power. That is the power of the Holy Spirit. That is the power that He makes from you that is dead, that you are dead. He makes you alive. This is what Nicodemus, and if you haven't seen, what's that little TV program? Help me quickly. The Chosen. If you haven't seen it, please go download The Chosen. You can watch the whole series. I promise you, I'd never wanted to watch it. And then I just watched the first one, like three quarters into it, until I watched the last bit, the last 5 minutes of The Chosen. And I realized that. And Jesus is having this conversation with Nicodemus. And Nicodemus is this high priest. He is like, he understands the law. He understands the things of God. He's been taught in it. But he doesn't understand this. He doesn't understand the Holy Spirit. He doesn't understand. So he's asking him. He says, "What must I do?" He looks at Jesus and he says, "You need to be born again." He says, "What does that mean? Does it mean I must go back into my mother's womb? I mean, I don't understand what you're saying, Jesus." He says, "You've got to be born from above. It's the Holy Spirit that comes into your life with power that you become a child of God. That is the power that you need. And it's also the power that you need every single day. Without this power, none of us can ever become sons and daughters of the Most High God. Mankind has lost its way and does not recognize the true Father. It needs the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's job is to awaken our spiritual need and point us to Jesus. There's a desperation in my heart to tell people so much about Jesus. But the Holy Spirit is the one that opens your eyes, that you see this truth. You know, that like light bulb moment that you just realize. That was for me 28 years ago, end of October, 28 years ago, in my room, God speaking. I never knew that people in the, I literally never knew. Ek was nie die slimste kind in die katekese klas nie. I wasn't that kid that was like, ek het nie opgelet in die klas nie. I really didn't. And I knew about Noah, and I knew about some of these Samson, and I knew about die brandende braambos. Almal van ons het daarvan geweet. So almal het geweet dat Moses het voor 'n bos gestaan en het gebrand en gepraat. But I didn't weigh on Biliam P and say donkey. Yeah, that's it. That's all I knew. The donkey was speaking. And I was like, what? That's all I knew. I never knew God would speak to His people. And I heard His voice. And I knew, like Paul most probably knew, on that Damascus Road experience, that God was speaking to him. And I knew it. And that is the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the first thing, the power to become. Okay, if you're taking notes, the power to become, God's way of bringing mankind back to Himself with the power of the Holy Spirit working in us, and we can accomplish what is our, what we in our strength could not do. We can become God's sons. Without the Holy Spirit, we can never become God's sons, like I said. We can become God's sons and act and live as members of his family. The second thing that I want to lay emphasis on is the power to be. So the first one is the power to become. Born again. Child of God. But he also gives you the power to be. And this power is that power that happened in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2. We see the Holy Spirit being poured out. Peter is preaching under the Holy Spirit's guidance. 3,000 men, the Bible says. We assume it's more people because I just mentioned the men. They are cut to the heart and say, what must we do? Peter says, save yourselves from this wicked generation. He says, you need to be born again. Same as what Jesus said. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized with the Holy Spirit, and you need to be baptized with water. That is what God requires. It's not optional extras. You know, it's not like you buy a drill and then you can decide if you want the power pack and then the 6 drill bits and the optional extras. This is no optional extra. This is it. This is the Christian life. Don't let any man rob the Holy Spirit from you. You can speak in tongues. Don't tell me I can't. Pastor, I've never spoken in tongues. You can speak in tongues. You can. Ooh, controversial. No, it's the word of God. It's what it is. I will be a liar if I don't preach the full counsel of God to you. God help me if I don't. If I don't show you everything. Hold certain things back. Holy Spirit is the power to be. To be devoted. So these people, they get saved. They do what Peter tells them to do. They were cut to the heart. And then we see in Acts chapter 2 verse 42, we see a people that is devoted. Devoted. Devotion is a very strong word. A very strong word. A people that's devoted. Devoting their lives, they give of themselves to the word of God. To the apostles' teaching, the Bible says. They gave of themselves to fellowship. The Bible's very clear in the last days, many will fall away and many will forsake to gather as the church. People, there is this teaching that is false, and I want to warn you that the church and Jesus are two separate things. Or even this, that the church and the body are two different things. I don't even know what that means. But it's false. I'm telling you right now, it's erroneous teachings that have slipped in because people are not running their race flat out. Paul doesn't say, I've run my race 3/4 and now I'm done and I'm finished with exclamity kerk. Because the kerk, it may offend and everybody in it. So it's going to be Jesus and me till the end. He says, no, my buddy, it's Jesus and his church right to the end. The church is the answer. There's no other answer. Jesus said this. He says, I will make my manifold wisdom. I will make it known to principalities and powers. There was an indictment on my heart yesterday because there were most probably maximum 2 or 3 churches that were present at this meeting that we have called. And it's not like people didn't know. We have over 500 churches in Oudtshoorn. Where is the church? Where is she? She's become apathetic. She's stuck in her ways. Jesus warns the people. He says, your traditions have killed and nullified the power of God. I'm sorry. No, I'm not sorry. I'm not sorry. Because this is the word of God, my friends. And we need to understand, Jesus is not coming back for some half-baked cookie. He's coming back for a bride that is pure and spotless, without blemish. How do you get wrinkles out? Not Botox, I'm sorry. No, you get it out by ironing it out. God's going to apply heat on you. You're not going to like it. It's going to be aina, aina, aina. I think I say more aina to God than amen to God. Where is the church? This beautiful bride that Jesus wants to come back for. Church, we need to arise. Arise, O sleeper. The power to be. Oh. God wants us to know His power so that we can live a life of faith continually and become examples to others of what it means to live the new life in Jesus day by day. People, I want to say that the flesh is weak, but we are not alone. Romans chapter 3 verse 12, I know I didn't give it to you, but Romans 3:12 says, there's no one righteous, not even one. No one does good. Let me read it to you. Romans chapter 3 verse 12 says, all have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. None of us are good, but God. The plan is the Holy Spirit, the power that you receive from Him to be children of God. Ephesians chapter 3. Can we read that quickly? That according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened. God wants to grant you something. He wants to give you something. To be strengthened with power through His Spirit. This is dunamis. This is that God enablement that you are weak, but He is strong. That is the potential that He is giving you. The potential through His Spirit in your inner being. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That you, and then He says, being rooted and grounded in love, may comprehend with all the saints what is the height and the breadth and the depth of God's love. There's a dimension to God's love that we have not. We're scratching the surface, my friends. You know, there's a song years ago that says, I want to go deeper, but these arms won't take me there. I want to fly higher. But the problem is, without the Spirit, I can't go deeper. We will have a very broad understanding theologically of the Holy Spirit. Very wide, but an inch thick. God wants us to go deeper with Him. He wants us to understand who He is and what He wants to do and what He wants to give you. The next thing that we need to look at is the power to overcome. So there's the power to become, the power to be, the power to overcome. The day you got saved, you got a bullseye tattooed on your back. You live in a war zone. Satan hates you. And this is not propaganda slogans. This is the truth. Satan hates you. He's already hated you because you were made in the image of God. He hates you. But now that you are a born again believer, He's going to hate you even more. I want to tell you that right now. We live in a war zone. I look at churches today, and this is not just to fling things at churches, because I have to always look at us first as a church. Joshua generation in Oudtshoorn. Are we a cruise ship or are we a battleship? Because I tell you, it looks sometimes, ach, alles is lekker, open gravy train, on the train to heaven. I'm on my way to heaven. And it's all good. Everything is fine. My friends, this is a war zone. This is all hands on deck. This is battle stations right now, like never before. We are at war. The Bible says, I'm not fighting flesh and blood. He says, I am fighting principalities and rulers. And that's what we did last night. Out there on a hill, just outside of our town, doing battle for this town. And this is not a Frank Peretti book. I'm sorry. This is not a This Present Darkness and this is not a Frank Peretti book, my friends. This is reality. The devil hates you. And he will do anything in his power. Last night, I come back. I am raw, 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 raw power. And I get in bed. My wife has been sick, feeling ill with her stomach the whole day. I get in bed about 10 o'clock. My mind needs to now just shut down. I know I'm going to come into this meeting and have a meeting tonight. And my stomach is upset. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome. Every single day, Satan is out to destroy you. That's his job description. John 10:10, he's a liar. He's a thief. And he has been that since the beginning. Every Christian, we live in a war zone. Before we became Christians, we were on Satan's side. We were. John 8:44 tells us, you are of your father the devil. There are Christian churches that wants to remove that scripture out of Bible right now because they say that Satan does not exist. So the lion does not exist when you put your head in the ground. That's right. That's very clever. And these are clever men. They have studied for 7 years. They are professors. They should know. Gaan ry met jou skateboard deur die Kruierwild en dan kyk ons wat gebeur. Professor. See what's going to happen. Go take the devil on. Or actually just deny him and say he does not exist. And see what's going to happen in your life. You are so deceived. You're so deceived. Paul is fighting that all the time. He says to the Galatian church eventually, he says to them, who has bewitched you? That's what he says to them. Because they're believing a lie. Constantly, all the letters of Paul to the Thessalonians, to the Corinthian church, to the Galatian church, the Ephesian church, all of them, he has to address something that has crept in. Some error. And the error today is like, well, Satan does not exist. Ephesians 2:1-5. I'm almost done, my friends. And you were dead. There's that word. We were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, allowing the course of this world. In other words, this world was dictating to you, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit, the small letter spirit there, that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. Paul is warning the Ephesian church, but God. You see, there's that little word again. But God. Being rich in mercy. Because of the great love with which he loved us. Oh man. Can you feel that? Oh. Being rich in mercy. Because of the great love with which he loved us. Even when we were dead in our sin, in our trespasses. He made us alive together with Jesus Christ. By grace you have been saved. It's by grace. It's his grace. See, the warfare we experience after we believe is far tougher. As he is tempting us and attempting to stop us following Jesus. God makes his power available with us so that we have the strength and the know-how to defeat the enemy and to overcome 1 John 4 verse 4, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Little children, you are from God. You see, this is a total different language than John chapter 8 verse 44, where he says, you are of your father, the devil. And now he is speaking as a father to the little children that have accepted him as Lord and Savior. He says, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in this world. It's only with the power of the Holy Spirit that we can overcome. And the last one is the power to share. The power to share. The ability, the potential to share. In Acts chapter 1 verse 8, Jesus promises the Holy Spirit to them. He says, you've got to go wait. Go wait. But you will receive dunamis when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. My friends, Jesus needed the Holy Spirit himself. Look at the Holy Spirit's work in the life of Jesus. At his birth, Matthew chapter 1. The Holy Spirit announces, but he says the Holy Spirit has come upon her, and that's why it conceived the baby. The Holy Spirit led Jesus into the desert. I would like to teach you how to use that very portion of scripture, how to overcome the enemy, how to overcome demons. Because Jesus is teaching us something there. He says, don't give in to your selfish desires. He was fasting for 40 days. What do you look like after 3 days without food? Who's fasted for more than 10 days? Okay, what does it feel like? Hoe dit gevoel? Huh? You want to pass out. Who's fasted more than 10 days? Ria, hoeveel? Hoeveel daar? Hoeveel? 21 days. Wat jy gevoel na 21 dae? Who's fasted for 40 days? Anybody here? Actually got a friend that's fasted twice for 40 days. He says it's like, it feels like death. He says your breath starts stinking. Everything is just, you stink. He says, but you feel more alive than ever before. Listen, my friends, I'm not against fasting, but I do have a good fight with the Lord when he asks me to fast. I put up a brave fight. I know the last guy that was fighting with him had a dislocated hip. So if you see me with a dislocated hip, you'll know. I had a problem with fasting. The thing is this. Jesus goes in. He's led by the Spirit to be tempted of the devil. Jesus knows. He knows what's going to happen. 40 days fasting, and then the devil comes at him. Jesus needed the Holy Spirit. You and I need the Holy Spirit. And when you can, when you have him, when he comes and he saturates you, because that's what he wants to do. He doesn't want to just have a little bit of your life. He wants to have everything of your life. He wants to come and saturate you. I want to use this thing. You know, the word is in the Greek is pleroo, to be filled. You know, take a bowl and you put a sponge in there. That sponge, when you push it under the water, it's saturated with water. I mean, if you take that thing out, then it's dripping with water. That's exactly the way that God wants us to be, dripping with the Holy Spirit, saturated. He says to them, I want you to become, can you just pop that up, please? Sorry, John. Power of the Holy Spirit, you will be my witnesses. That word witness is exactly the same word that we use for the word martyr. a martelaar. Exactly the same word. Who signed up for this? I did. Because I can't be a martyr without the power. I can't be. I'm a coward. I'm a lover, not a fighter. I'll run away. I'm a non-confrontationalist. I'm a palm. I like people, and I like people to like me. So I don't want to offend you when I preach the gospel to you. I'm afraid of your face, maybe. Is that the same Stefan? Yes, that is exactly the same Stefan without the Holy Spirit. The power will come upon you to be my witnesses in Jerusalem. You start in your own house, in your own home. I always said, if you want to revive anything, draw a circle around it. Revive whatever is in that circle first, and then make the circle bigger. Jerusalem, then Judea, then Samaria, then to the ends of the earth. Power is there. God wants to be, wants us to be filled with the same power so that we can witness to the life of Jesus. He says the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is in your body now. The Holy Spirit, the same power. Not only to enable us to speak about Jesus, but that we also become like Jesus to other men and women. Josh Jen, you have become like Jesus when you helped Ria's parents. When you took food, when you prayed, you became like Jesus. It's beautiful. That is when we speak, when we pray, when we touch men and women in the power of the Holy Spirit, it will be as Jesus was with them. We have become His hands and His feet. John 14:12 says this. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these. Who can do greater works than Jesus? He wasn't talking about how amazing. I mean, turning water into wine was his first. That's pretty spectacular. Anybody did that lately? Yeah, I think a lot of people wished during lockdown they could. Anybody walked on water lately? Anybody? Not when you saw the shark. Nobody? He says, greater works. In other words, you can go further. Jesus ministered for 3 years. How much time do we have to minister the gospel to people? Because I'm going to the Father, he says. So how do I get dunamis? How do I get it? How do I get it? Because I want it. You ask. You ask. You ask to be saturated. You ask. You say, Jesus, I need your Spirit. I need your Spirit in all four of these areas. I need your Spirit to become. I need your Spirit to be. I need your Spirit to overcome. And I need your Spirit to share. You ask. The next thing you do is you draw close. You draw close to Him. Because the closer you walk with Him, the easier it is for Him to minister to you. Have short accounts with Him. Don't live in sin. When He reveals something to you, repent of it quickly. Say, sorry, Holy Spirit. I don't want to grieve you. You remember my first meeting? I said, He's a person. You don't want to chase Him away. He's a gentle dove. If I come too fast and too quickly and too, He'll fly away. Holy Spirit, stay. I need you. Draw close. Ask. Draw close. Don't stop seeking. Don't stop praying. The Bible says pray without ceasing. Don't stop. There's a song that says don't stop believing. I want to say don't stop praying. Don't stop seeking. He says it's like a man that has looked and went into the highways and the byways. and he has found the pearl of great price. He sold everything just to get that thing, or a beautiful field. You know, we sit on I mean, take a lot. Takes a lot of our time. It does. You know, take a lot, and we sit there for hours looking for that deal. You know, I can tell you the deal of the century is the Holy Spirit. Keep on searching for Him. On soek vir die plooitjie by die see. Nie die beste ene, né? Sea view, breeze, nie te veel wind nie, sandduine te ver van ons af. We want that. And we search for that, most probably our whole life, so dat ons aftrede geldjies kan spandeer. Search like that, or even more, for the Holy Spirit. Search Him. And the last thing I want to say this morning is, go. It's not a suggestion. Go and share the Holy Spirit. That is how you receive power. On all these things, if you want to share, you need to go. If you want people to know about Jesus, you need to tell them. You need to walk in it. Don't just talk about it. Don't be a fool of talk and no walk. That's what we need. Let's close our eyes this morning.